is taken from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 6. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time.
You would think when I got up here, it'd be pretty easy just to say good evening and get started. But we've had this discussion before, and I always feel like I'm repeating myself every time I get up here. It's not easy to say. It's not easy to start off a conversation for some reason for me. It's just something I've always struggled with. That's kind of what I want to talk about today. Things that seem easy, but they really aren't. And if they are easy, they probably shouldn't be, and we're probably doing them wrong. You know, in English, we have a lot of sayings that we use that mean easy. We say things like, easy like falling off a log, or easy as pie, or it's a cakewalk, it's a piece of cake. You know, I'm not exactly sure how easy those things are, though. You see, this, I don't know, three, four days ago, I was watching a video online of a lumberjack competition. They were doing this thing called the springboard, where the lumberjack goes up to this log that's on its end, and he cuts little grooves in it, and he takes this board and he shoves it in there, and then he jumps up on that, and he goes to the next level of the tree and cuts another one, and does that about three or four times, and he gets up to the top of the tree and he cuts the top of the tree off. And then he gets down. Now for him, while practicing, I'm sure he's fallen off a log several times. I don't think I could even get up on the log to fall off the log. You know, eating pie is easy. Last night I had a piece of pie with some ice cream on it. Nice and warm pie, cold ice cream was delicious. But that's not really the end of it, is it? That's not what makes it good, just the eating. It takes a lot of work to make that pie crust perfect, you know, flaky and tender, but still, you know, tasty. I've actually known somebody that made a pie crust and, well, it wasn't that great. They were frustrated. Tears were shed, crust was thrown against the wall. Pie is not all that easy. You know, cakewalks are easy. I remember when I was a kid taking part in a cakewalk. It was at my school's harvest festival. I got in this line, they played some music, I walked around in a circle, and they gave me a cake. That's pretty easy. You know, it was probably the least amount of skill to get some kind of good thing from. I didn't have to run, I didn't have to jump, I didn't have to climb a tree and fall off a log, I didn't have to preheat an oven to bake a pie. All I had to do was walk around in a circle, and when the music stopped, stop moving. And then somebody handed me a cake. Cakewalks are easy, but they come from a dark place. They come from slavery. There was back before the Civil War, slaves would watch their masters dancing in their ballrooms and having parties, and they would mock their plantation owners. Some of those owners saw that and they didn't like it, but others liked it, and so they thought it was funny and they thought it was great, and so they got their people together and they had competitions, and the person that won that competition would get a cake. They were forced into doing it, though. The dances they were doing, they weren't easy. They were complex things. They were hard things. But the idea of something being a cakewalk, of something being a piece of cake, it came from the idea that, hey, this hard thing I'm doing is not as bad as working out in the fields. Sometimes we generalize things too much. Just the other day, I was reading in Acts about Paul preaching, and I thought to myself, wow, that guy, he had it easy. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 24, it says, and he was saying these things in his defense. And Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. But Paul said to him, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things. To him and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether in a short time or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. You know, preaching the gospel to Agrippa was easy. Agrippa knew the prophets. He had heard and maybe even seen some of the things that were going on in his nation. The Jews were the same way. The Jews that Paul would speak to, they knew the prophets. They knew the things that Paul was talking about. They saw what was happening in their country. It should have been easy. It was, basically. He could get the words out. He could tell them what they needed to know. But it wasn't. Agrippa, with all those advantages that he had, the Jews, with all the advantages they had, they didn't believe. And it really wasn't all that easy for Paul to get there either. You know, to get to talk to King Agrippa, Paul had to cause a riot in Jerusalem. He had to be arrested by the Romans. The Jews themselves had to make a plot to kill him. And then the Romans had to get an army together and transport him to Caesarea. And then once he was in Caesarea, Paul had to sit in prison for a while before he could ever even talk to this King Agrippa. Really, really not a walk in the park. Definitely not a cakewalk. As Christians, are we treating our lives like cakewalks? Are we just walking around in a circle waiting for the music to stop so we can collect our prize? In John 10, starting in verse 7, Jesus says this. It says, so Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Just about everyone in this room realizes that Christ is the gate, that he is a door that leads to salvation, that he is a door that leads to peace. Most of us agree that if we believe in Christ, we get to go to heaven. But that door that Jesus is, it also opens to a pathway. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, 7 through 11. It's talking about prayer. It's talking about asking our God for just about anything we want, and he, like a good father, will give it to us. But then Jesus says this in verse 12. He says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So basically, we have a God that will treat us like sons, will give us what we need, but part of this gift that we have is that we have to be willing to treat other people as we want to be treated. If you go on a little bit further, in verse 13, Jesus says this, "And enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those that enter it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." You see, what God wants from us is a hard road. He wants us to love people like we love ourselves. If we want people to treat us one way, we are to treat them that way. But folks, there is no guarantee in that. We have to treat people the way we wanted to be treated, but there is no guarantee that they are going to treat us that way. This is part of that hard road that we have to walk. You see, Jesus is talking about himself here. He's a door that leads to that narrow way. A narrow way that gives us access to a father that loves us. A narrow way that has us treating people as we would treat ourselves. But we have no guarantees they will treat us the way we want to be treated. So Christianity, it's a hard road. And it's definitely not a cakewalk. You see, we as Christians were never told that we were going to have an easy time of it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, starting in verse 10, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We are a blessed people. When we are persecuted, we are a blessed people. We come from a long line of blessed people that were persecuted. Paul, when we look at his life, it was turbulent. It was hard. But he was always seeking God's righteousness. So he was a blessed person. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting about verse 3, Paul says this, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." You know, in Acts 22, Paul goes to his people. He's in the temple. He's trying to talk to them, trying to tell them what's going on with God. They reject him. They beat him up. They drag him out of the temple. They're going to stone him, just to have the Romans come and arrest him and take him away. Paul had a rough life, but he knew that God loved him. He knew without a doubt that his Savior was on his side. He knew this because he was like Christ, and he was willing to suffer like Christ was willing to suffer. In John 15, starting in verse 18, Jesus says this: "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you: a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all of these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled: they hated me without a cause." They hated Christ without a cause. The world hates Christ because he was not part of the world. The world hates Christians because they have been called out of this world. The world is going to treat the Christian badly because they don't know God. They don't love God. They don't love the things that Christians love. So are we experiencing that hate? I don't see it a whole lot. It gets me kind of worried about us. It gets me definitely worried about myself. When the world looks at me, what do they see? Do they see the world, or do they see my Lord? Are they seeing God's reflection in me? Or am I just walking around in a circle, listening to the music, waiting for it to stop, so I can get my cake and go home? Are we waiting for somebody to tell us what to do? We are Christians. We have salvation. We have the gospel. Are we waiting for somebody to tell us what to do? A woman, I just read this story a few days ago. A woman was at a cash register. She was trying to buy something with the company credit card, the store's credit card. It wasn't working, so they were going to set her up a new one. So they go through all the motions. She decides that she's going to pay cash. And as she's finishing up with the credit card information, she just sits there and she stares at that credit card machine. And she stares. She stares so long, the clerk asks, "Were you going to pay cash?" And she says, "Yes. Yes, I was going to pay cash." And she just keeps staring at that credit card machine. The woman's daughter finally says, "Mom, you have to give the man the cash." She was waiting for that machine to tell her what to do next. She paid the man and went on her way. Are we as Christians doing the same thing? Like I said, we're saved. We're going home. But are we waiting for somebody to tell us what to do while we're here? Are we arching around that circle, waiting for our cake? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 22, it says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as to the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality. You know, this is written for slaves of earthly masters. But I think it's kind of pertains to us also. You know, Paul called himself a bondservant over and over again in the New Testament. We as Christians are bondservants to our Lord Christ. He paid a price for us in blood. He holds our bond. We are his servants. So are we looking for work that needs to be done? Are we finding work and doing it? In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, "We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In Matthew 25, Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, Jesus says this: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Those that were acceptable found the work, did the work. Christ took care of them. He blessed them. He gave them something special. Those that were not acceptable, didn't see the work, didn't try to do the work, didn't understand the work, they didn't treat people like they would treat themselves. They were on that wrong path, and they had to pay the price for it. Find something and do it. Find something and do it for God. Find something and do it for the church. Just find something and do it. We're not going to always have somebody telling us what to do. But to be acceptable to God, we have to find the work that he has prepared for us to do. We were designed for good works. You know, it's not going to be easy, and it really shouldn't be, Being a Christian should not be an easy thing. Christ has pulled us out of this world. If it was easy to be in this world and be a Christian, he would have no need to have pulled us out of this world. When this world sees us, when they look at us, they need to see Christ. And they can only see that through what we do. So we need to stay on that narrow path. We need to keep treating people the way that we want to be treated. Show them the same love that our Father shows us. We must remember that life is not a cakewalk. We don't get the prize for just walking around the circle. It's hard work. It's hard work that we come from a long line of hard workers. If you've been treating life like a cakewalk, if you've just been walking around doing your own thing, waiting, if this life has you pulled in the wrong direction, looking like the world, the church is here to help with that. If you haven't been baptized, you aren't even playing the game yet. There will be no reward for you. You see, Jesus came and he died for us. He died, was buried in the ground, and was resurrected. He came up a new creature, a new being, something special. He wants the same for you. Take a look at Romans 6. I know we've talked about this before, but it's probably my favorite verse in the Bible. Romans 6 and verse 3 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." If you haven't been baptized, you can do that today. You can walk in newness of life. And by walking in newness of life, you can be assured of a resurrection like Christ. If you need to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.